RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back again in English Bulletin. As usual in today's edition, we are going to bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus also news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong to inaugurate Kendal Industrial Center. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency launched INARIS portal. Now the news in details. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB launched INARIS at the office of BNPB in Jakarta on Thursday. INARIS is a system of data information link for natural disaster, which can be used as development framework as the disaster locations. That was said by agency's Deputy of Disaster Preventions and Preparedness, Wisnu Wijaya, in his welcoming speech of launching INARIS portal.
Jadi INARIS adalah sebuah perangkat dan sistem informasi yang
INARIS is an instrument and information system which we built for National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB to give information current condition of national disaster in Indonesia and becomes a tool to serve as a reduction in disaster risk index in Indonesia as mandated on National Mid-Term Development Planning Program for us to materialize the reduction of many victims such as damage and harm caused by the disaster.
Furthermore, Wisnu Wijaya also said that disaster risk identification is the first step of mitigating disaster. He explained the disaster risk data can be formulated for development planning in national, provincials, regency, and municipality levels. He added that the data can be the first step of early warning system that is being developed by BNPB as an early warning system. President Joko Widodo will meet with Prime Minister of Singapore, Lee Hsien Loong, at the annual leader meeting on 13 and 14 of November 2016 in Semarang, Central Java. This meeting was previously planned in August. In a press briefing held in Jakarta on Thursday, August 10, Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman Armanata Nasir said, "The meeting showed the importance of relations between the two countries because Indonesia only has the annual leaders' meeting with several countries. At this meeting, the two heads of states and government will inaugurate Kendal Industrial Center."
What we would like
dibutuhkannya suatu pertemuan yang rutin setiap tahun menunjukkan.
The annual regular meeting is needed not only to show the closeness between the two countries but also an opportunity both for the heads of states and government to address both strategic and sudden issues. The main focus of the meeting relates to increasing economic cooperation, especially in the field of investment. One of the activities that will be carried out by the two heads of states and government is inaugurating Kendal Industrial Center.
Ekonomi khususnya di bidang investasi.
Armanata Nasir further explained that this meeting will be attended by many delegates from Indonesia and Singapore. Singaporean delegation includes the Foreign Minister, Trade Minister, Communication Minister, Defense Minister, and Environment Minister. while Indonesia delegates comprises Coordinating Minister for Politics, Law and Human Rights, Trade Minister, Tourism Minister and the Head of Investment Coordinating Board. Besides the economy, other areas to be discussed are issues on terrorism restrictions, increasing intelligence cooperation, tourism and regional cooperation. World Food Program under the United Nations cooperates with National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB related to preparations of mitigating natural disaster. The cooperation is aimed at anticipating and avoiding many victims at the disaster locations. This was said by Chairman of World Food Program Daniel Adrians to Voice of Indonesia on the sidelines of launching of Inaris Portal at BNPB office in Jakarta on Thursday.
What we would like is really that the country is less impacted by natural disasters, and that the natural disasters will always happen, okay? We cannot control that. Nobody can control an earthquake or volcanic eruption. But what we can do is being ready so the population don't suffer too much and the economy is not impacted too much by the disasters. This is relies on a good preparation. So that's really what we try to do with BNPB, with other ministries also, like the Ministry of Health, Ministry of Social Affairs, etc. This is our objective, and this is why we are here to work with the government. But we learn a lot, you know, also.
Furthermore, Daniel Adrians explained that he himself was impressed with the National Disaster Mitigation Agency's BNPB's, which is responsive to continuously mitigate natural disaster with related institutions in many districts in Indonesia. He said that the mitigating of natural disaster management in Indonesia can become a role model for other countries. Spokesman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs Armanata Natsir said the victory of Donald Trump as the president-elect of the United States does not make Indonesian government worried. In a press briefing held in Jakarta on Thursday, Armanata Natsir congratulated the American people who have successfully celebrated the Democratic Party. As a reference of democratic states, Armanata hopes that the victory of Donald Trump will have a positive effect on democracy in the region.
Dalam hal ini kan Indonesia sendiri juga aktif ya mendorong proses.
In this case, Indonesia is also actively encouraging the democratic process in the region. Through Bali Democracy Forum, we continue to do this to encourage democracy in the region. I think there is no link whether there are concerns about the democratizations. The U.S. has become a reference for democracy, and we could see they have successfully elected their leader, and we have not imagined before. Donald Trump could be the leader in America.
Bahwa upaya untuk demokrasi kalau kita melihat rujukannya ya.
Armanata Natsir further explained, since the beginning of the electoral process in the United States, Donald Trump has not issued a detailed policy and just campaign rhetoric. Indonesia needs to look at the foreign policy of the United States in the future. He also said there were not specific message and appeal to the Indonesian citizens living in the United States. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The national defense industry is strategic to support the need of defense equipment to maintain the national sovereignty. The management of defense industry has been regulated on the draft bill number 16, year 2012 on defense industry. Chairman of Defense Industry Policy Committee, KKIP, Sumarjono, in a press conference about defense industry management progress at Indonesian Defense Ministry in Jakarta on Thursday afternoon said, defense strategic industry has become an important pillar and main component to running the state defense.
Apa pentingnya industri pertahanan? Industri pertahanan itu merupakan salah satu pilar atau komponen dalam sistem pertahanan suatu negara. Apa sih pilar dari bangunan sistem pertahanan suatu negara? Yang pertama adalah doktrin pertahanan.
What is the importance of defense industry? It is one of pillars of component in the state's defense system. What is the pillar of the state defense system? The first is defense doctrine. It contains how to conduct defense in a country. It is regulated by a doctrine. Secondly, defense strategy. It rules how doctrine can be implemented. Moreover, Defense Industry Policy Committee KKIP has mapped the development of products of Security Defense Instrument Tool, which is divided into three phases. The first is design mastery for period of 2010 up to 2014. Secondly, technology mastery for 2015 up to 2019. And the last is the new development for 2014 up to 2020. The force development of Security Defense Instrument Tool has also a target up to 2029, which is expected to achieve an ideal posture power with high mobility and has tremendous power. Director General for Multilateral Cooperation at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Hasan Klaib, said that Indonesia targets the dispatch of 4,000 peacekeeping troops to conflict countries. He also stated that until now, Indonesia has sent 2,867 personnel of peacekeeping troops spreading in various United Nations peace operations in the world. He said the target is expected to be reached before 2019. After opening Challenges Forum workshop in Legian, Baloi, on Thursday, Hasan Klaib pointed out that at the moment, the Indonesian government is coordinating with ministries in bid to find potentials in reaching the target.
Sebelum 2019, jadi kita ini sekarang ada yang namanya tim koordinasi.
Before 2019, so we have coordination team among ministries for peace maintaining missions. So we keep holding meeting. We see two things. First, we see potentials in the existing troops. Secondly, we send them to missions that we have not carried. We are going to do it. So let's say we will add more troops at the UN request.
UN kerjasama atau ada beberapa yang UN minta kita mengirim.
Furthermore, Ambassador Hasan Klaib said that the target of sending 4,000 peacekeeping troops aims to show the preparedness of Indonesia to contribute to keeping the world in peace. He also added that it is in line with the preamble of the Constitution 1945 and the foreign political policy of Indonesia to achieve world order. Besides, the dispatch of Indonesian peacekeeping troops is an effort to improve the professionalism of Indonesia's military to promote the production of primary weapons defense system made in the country. The last item. Indonesia is optimistic to be selected again as the United Nations Security Council non-permanent member for the period of 2019-2020. Director General for Multilateral Cooperation at the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Hasan Klaib, said on Thursday in Bali that Indonesia has a big potential in the selection that will be done in 2018. According to him, Indonesia has a big potential to become the UN Security Council non-permanent member because Indonesia has positive postures and history in the commitment to keeping world peace.
Saya optimis karena begini, ini Republik kita negara terbesar di Asia Tenggara.
I'm optimistic because Republic of Indonesia is the biggest in Southeast Asia. It is the fourth most populous country in the world. Indonesia is an example how modern Muslims and democracy go hand in hand. Moreover, Indonesia's economy is the 15th biggest in the world. Indonesia is G20 member. We play role at OIC, Non-Aligned Movement Asia, Africa, the biggest Muslim population country. That's our posture. Now we add the credentials. We always try to find peace efforts. We help find solution. We send troops. With that, I am optimistic.
Cari membantu cari solusi, kita kirim pasukan. Jadi dengan itu, saya optimis.
The launching of Indonesia's candidacy campaign to become the UN Security Council non-permanent member for the period of 2019-2020 has been done in the 71st UN General Assembly in New York, the US, last September. Indonesia has filled the same position three times from 1974 to 2008. The selection of the UN Security Council non-permanent member in 2018 will use area representative system. For Asia, Indonesia will compete with Maldives. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, our next program is a commentary. The title today, Choose Democrat Fails to Create Hatred, A New Round of American Leadership. After tiring battle in campaign, which was reported the worst one in the U.S. history, the United States citizens finally choose Donald Trump, a non-politician Republican presidential candidate, as the 45th president. Thus, the Democratic Party fails to create hatred or wins three-time row and fail to make history as the party that can win a woman to become president. Donald Trump wins more than 270 electoral votes compared to Hillary Clinton, who gained only 216 electoral votes. In the legislature, the Republic wins 232 seats, while Democrat is not more than 200 seats. Hillary, who had been experienced in political sphere, would admit it on Wednesday morning local time, her defeat, and asks the American people to support Donald Trump as a newly elected president. This attitude shows the stability of Hillary Clinton, who is ready to win, but also ready to recognize if she would lose. Compared to Donald Trump, in his victory speech during his election campaign, who was very aggressive in attacking his rival. Thank sincerely for Hillary, who has contributed to the country and encouraged the American people to heal the wounds of battle during the campaign and united to build America. Some people are happy with the victory of Donald Trump. They are both right-wing groups in the country and abroad. In France, the National Front, in Australia, One Nation Party, and in the Netherlands, the right-wing figures all of them express congratulations and welcome Trump with a very positive tone. Surprisingly, the Communist Party in Russia also welcomed Trump's victory with the same attitude. Israel has also predictably welcomed the victory of Trump and asked him to immediately realize his campaign promise to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. If this comes true, the ideal of Palestinian state to be independent is only a dream. Then who is the sadist? First, of course, they are Hillary Clinton and the supporters of Democrat. The second is that President Obama fails to make his candidate Hillary Clinton become president. Nevertheless, Trump invited Obama to the White House to discuss the leadership transition. Cuba, that newly normalized its relations with the U.S., is also pessimistic about Trump. Are Palestinians also sad with the victory of Trump? Last September, Palestinian leaders condemned Donald Trump, who met Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, by saying that if Trump wins, he will recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. But interestingly, when Trump won on Wednesday, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas even urged Donald Trump to work harder to create an independent Palestinian state. Hamas spokesman Sami Abu Shuhri is even optimistic that U.S. policy in the Middle East will not change much. Obviously, there was a change in attitude by Donald Trump during the campaign and when he has been elected. It is expected that there is change in resulting international problems, including the issue of Palestine, Cuba, and the issue with the Middle East in particular, and the Islamic world in general. His remark during the campaign that discredited Islam is hopefully only something to get sympathy during the campaign and is not to be realized. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Okay. Listener, welcome to Today in History. We start from an event on November 11, 1946, the beginning of Linggar Jati negotiation. Linggar Jati is a negotiation between Indonesia and the Netherlands in Linggar Jati, Kuningan, West Java, which resulted in agreement on the status of Indonesian independence. The result of the negotiation was signed at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on November 15, 1946. Ulang. On November 15, 1946, and ratified by the two countries on March 25, 1947. The arrival of Allied forces Netherlands East Indies, Afnen, which was raided by Japanese troops to Indonesia because Japan set status quo in Indonesia, led to the conflict between Indonesia and the Netherlands. Therefore, the British government is responsible to resolve the political and military conflicts in Asia. In late August 1946, the British government sent Lord Killeran to Indonesia to resolve the negotiations between Indonesia and the Netherlands. On October 7, 1946, at the British Consulate General in Jakarta, Indonesia-Netherlands opened negotiations led by Lord Killeran. These negotiations resulted in an agreement of ceasefire on October 14 and paved the way toward Linggar Jati negotiation, which began on November 11, 1946. On November 11, 1978, Maumoon Abdul Gayoom began his first term of office as President of Maldives. Maumoon Abdul Gayoom was President of the Republic of Maldives since November 11, 1978 to replace Ibrahim Nasir. Gayoom was elected continuously for 7 times of 5 years period in October 2003 with 90.28% of the votes. Most of Gayoom's early life was spent in Egypt. Gayoom was one among 15 students selected on the instructions of the then President Muhammad Amin Didi for a special education abroad. The last event on November 11, 2004, Yasser Arafat passed away. Muhammad Abdul Rahman Abdul Rauf Arafat Al-Qudwa Al-Husseini, more familiar with Yasser Arafat, who was the President of the Palestinian National Authority and Chairman of the Palestine Liberation Organization, died unexpectedly on 11 November 2004, 75 years of age, after a short period of illness. The cause of Arafat's death has since been debated, although several different theories concerning it have been suggested. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Focus. Today's edition entitled Indonesia as Malaysia's Attention on the Maritime Sea Security Stagent. Listener, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi expressed deep concern over the recurrence of kidnapping of Indonesian fishermen in Sabah waters on November 5, 2016. The concern was conveyed by Minister Retno Marsudi during a meeting with Malaysian Foreign Minister Datuk Seri Anifah Aman in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Monday, November 7, 2016. On the occasion, Minister Retno Marsudi also called for Malaysia's special attention to the security of about 6,000 citizens who work legally in the fishing boats in Malaysia. In response to Indonesia's statement, Malaysia's foreign minister also expressed concern for the incident. According to Dato' Sri Anifah, she strongly understands the concerns of the Indonesian government on the robberies incident, shootings and kidnappings toward citizens in Sabah. Therefore, representatives of Indonesian and Malaysian governments have agreed to increase security mechanism waters with a variety of approaches, such as the obligation to use the automatic identification system. besides maximizing the selling security socialization to the employer and crews, and build a better quick response mechanisms and create point of safety in a number of small islands around the waters of Sabah. He emphasized that the Malaysian government agreed to strengthen cooperation with Indonesia and the Philippines to prevent a similar abduction. Two Indonesians kidnapped by a group of armed men on Saturday, November 5, 2016, when fishing in the Sabah water, Malaysia. Related to the case, the Foreign Ministry spokesman Armana Tanasir said the Indonesian government had appealed to the Indonesian shipmen in Sabah not to go to the sea until the security situation is conducive. Meanwhile, Indonesian Consul General in Kota Kinabalu Ahmad Daya Handasah Irfan said that the office continues to coordinate with the Malaysian authorities to dig up more information related to the kidnapping incident. Ahmad Daya Handasah Irfan asserted, until now, the Consulate General has not made any communication with the armed groups. Indonesian Consulate General in Kota Kinabalu, together with the Consulate General of Tawau, continue to ensure the two citizens who kidnapped are in good condition and safe. He explained that the task force had met with a police protection investigator of Malaysia. The team also checked the marine port to meet the ship owner and the crews who have been released by the kidnappers. The two Indonesians named Lautu bin Larali and Lala Hadi bin Adi. The two men from Buton, Southeast Sulawesi, are Malaysian fishing boat captains SSK-00520 and SN-1154F. Listener, that was Focus.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, launched Inaris at the office of BNPB in Jakarta on Thursday. President Joko Widodo will meet with Prime Minister of Singapore Lee Hsien Loong at the annual leaders' meeting on 13 and 14 of November 2016 in Semarang, Central Java. World Food Programme under the United Nations cooperates with National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB related to preparation of mitigating natural disaster. Spokesman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armana Tanasir, said the victory of Donald Trump as the president-elect of the United States does not make Indonesian government worried. The national defense industry is strategic to support the need of defense equipment to maintain the national sovereignty. Director General for Multilateral Cooperation at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Hasan Klaib, said that Indonesia targets the dispatch of 4,000 peacekeeping troops to conflict countries. Indonesia is optimistic to be selected again as the United Nations Security Council non-permanent member for the period of 2019-2020. Listener, that was News in Brief, our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 95-5 kHz, 11.785 kHz and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to Anambas. Stay tuned. Listen. listener, Anambas is an island which also became one of the Regent Seas in the province of Rio Islands. With a 59,214 hectares land area and 4.6 million miles of waters, the wealth Anambas actually lies precisely in the sea. Hence, the source of income of Anambas residents comes from the sea. The people generally work as fishermen. The maritime wealth of the region is also used as the region's maritime tourism destination. Anambas is known as a haven for those who like diving, snorkeling, and scuba diving. In addition to maritime tourism, Anambas also offers its land beauty, one of them called Tamburun Waterfall. Listener, Tamburun Waterfall is located on the Siantan Island. It is located in the eastern part of the Tarempat city, capital of Anambas. The waterfall can be reached from Tarempa about 30 minutes by boat or pompong boat, the traditional boat made of wood. When you arrive in the tourism area of Tamburun Waterfall, you must set up your stamina because it is not easy to get to this waterfall. You have to climb the steps that are quite steep. Your tire will be paid when you arrive in the location. The scenery is beautiful, green, cool, and the air is so fresh. From a distance, the flow of the Tamburun waterfall looks like the snow melt, flowing between the rocks. Listener, the waterfall is also called Pearl of the South China Sea. It's also used as a hydroelectric power plant by the local community with 250 meters high above sea level. The unique shape with a 7 level with water discharge never dries even in the dry season. This waterfall comes from Baruk River and empties into the Peniting Strait to its position facing directly into the beach. Because its position overlooking the beach from the waterfall is visible, the beauty of the high seas. You can enjoy the beauty clearly if you climb up to the 7th level of the waterfall. At the Tamburun waterfall, you can enjoy the freshness of the water by soaking in small ponds that are available on the side of the waterfall. If you do not want to get wet, you just sit on the edge of the rocks while playing water. For those who like trekking, you can continue your exploration to summit by traversing steep rocks. Unfortunately, there are no available stalls selling foods or drinks in the vicinity of the waterfall. Therefore, you have to prepare supplies in sufficient quantities if you are going to visit the Tamburun waterfall. But if you want to relax, do not worry. There are wooden huts to take rest. There is also units of toilet in the location. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Tamburun Waterfall. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In this information era, competitions of a nation is determined by the quality of human resources. Police Resort of Medan, North Sumatra are actively fixing their performance to maximize their service for the people. This development is marked by launching an application called Medan Police Headquarters that can be downloaded in Play Store for smartphone Android base. This is the topic we will inform you in Miscellany today. Medan Police Resort Commissioner Police Haji Mardias Kusin Dwihananto said that this application is part of service and public compliance. The application is similar with the online driving license registrations, police data, and information about Medan Police Resort. The main service in the application is fast response button that is directly integrated to the standby police personnel. After downloading the application, people are obligated to fill their data, so online GPS application can be run by the police. The quick response feature is used when the citizens needs quick handling to response murder, rape, robbery, and other crimes. When the quick response button is used, all police personnel's mobile phones on duty will ring, including the head of police sector. The residents' locations that hits the button is directly tracked, so the officers can immediately come to the crime spot to overcome the problem. This application can hopefully help residents of Medan to report any kinds of criminal actions that have a potential to harm Medan's residents. Head of Medan Police Resort Commissioner Mardias also hopes that Medan Police can use the application correctly. Hopefully, this application can make people feel more secure and comfortable to live their lives. He also warned people not to play games on this application because it can make officers work not maximally and the persons that play games can be brought to justice. Well, listener, that was our today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about Medan Police Resort application. We meet again on the next Miscellany with another interesting topic.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Dee, in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you Ayu Ting Ting, a well-known Indonesian female dangdut singer. She gained her popularity in Indonesian dangdut industry with her song Alamat Palsu or False Address. Despite a long popularity delay after the actual release in 2006, Alamat Palsu became a hit in 2011. To begin our program, here is a song entitled Alamat Palsu. Happy listening! Listeners, we've just listened to the song by Ayu Ting Ting entitled Alamat Palsu. The song reflects a story that commonly happens in the community deceived by her lover. Ayu Ting Ting's presence gave a new color in Indonesian dangdut industry. Her pretty face combined with a trendy Korean-style appearance made her busy with lots of invitations to perform in various places in Indonesia. Ayu Ting Ting was the 2013 Indonesian most popular female dangdut singer by one of Indonesia's commercial TV stations, SCTV, in 2013 SCTV Award. Listener, before we go any further, let's listen to another song by Ayu Ting Ting entitled Minyak Wangi. Listener, let's talk a little bit about Ayu Ting Ting. She was born in June 20, 1992 as Ayu Rosmalina. Ayu Ting Ting is considered being lucky that her simply and easily listening songs are accepted very well by the Indonesian dangdut lovers and turned out to be hits, such as her song Sambalado, released in 2016. Sambalado is a Minang word for chili sauce made from red or green pepper, usually consumed by Indonesian people to add more appetite in their dishes. The song Sambalado reflects someone's love, which tastes really nice in the beginning but leaves a spicy bite at the end. Listener, to wrap up today's music corner, let's listen to a song by Ayu Ting Ting entitled Sambalado. Enjoy the song and sampai jumpa lagi.
Di mulut saja janjimu seperti sambalado enaknya cuma di lidah saja
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.